We tend to think of epilepsy as a problem which starts in childhood, but you may be surprised to hear that the commonest age group to experience epilepsy for the first time are people aged over 60. A large study has found that you can identify preventable risks in your 40s which might avoid epilepsy 20 years later. Emily Johnson is a neurologist at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, and I spoke to her earlier.
I think most people are surprised to hear that. We often think of epilepsy as being a childhood disease, and it is common in children. Then the incidence kind of tapers off in adulthood and in midlife. But then by the 60s, and especially by the 70s and 80s, the incidence of new cases of epilepsy is actually higher than it is in children. So a lot of people are surprised to hear this.
What kind of epilepsy is it? Because there's various kinds of epilepsy. You can get major seizures, you can get what's called petit mal or absence, behavioral things that happen. Is it stock standard epilepsy where you drop down and convulse?
Great question. It doesn't necessarily have to be, although that can certainly happen. But then the other type is called focal epilepsy, and that is the type that starts in one part of the brain and then can spread to other parts. So these seizures can progress to the grand mal seizures, but they can also stay relatively small focal seizures. Then people might not have signs that are easily recognized as seizures. They might have staring or confusion. They might have kind of repetitive limb movements, maybe shaking of one limb, but they don't necessarily have to fall down and have a convulsion.
So it might be confused initially for what's called a transient ischemic attack or a temporary stroke.
Absolutely. I think that's a fairly common differential diagnosis with the first time a patient has a presentation like this.
Now, if I sort of dig deep into my medical school days 3 centuries ago, we were taught that in an adult with new onset epilepsy, the cause is cancer until you learn otherwise. Is that not true anymore?
Everyone who has a new seizure like this definitely needs brain imaging, preferably with an MRI. But we are learning that it's not always or even usually cancer, that there's these other causes that we're exploring.
So what made you think that the risk factors for heart disease and coronary heart disease and stroke might be the same risk factors for late onset epilepsy?
We know that some cases, about 30 to 50% of cases of epilepsy are related to stroke and are post-stroke epilepsy. There have also been other studies. There's been one prior study showing that hypertension has been linked to this late onset epilepsy.
High blood pressure.
Yeah. And so we were hypothesizing, could these risk factors lead to microvascular disease, which then could trigger the seizures later in life?
So talk about the study that you did.
Being a relatively new attending physician, I had multiple patients come in who had their first seizures happening later in life, in their 60s or 70s. And the common question was, how could this happen to me? I haven't had a stroke. I never had seizures before in my life. Doesn't epilepsy have to start in childhood? So I was talking about this with a colleague who's a stroke researcher, and we were talking about this wonderful ERIC cohort study that she works with. So ERIC stands for the Atherosclerosis Risk in Communities. It's this large study of 15,000 people who were followed since midlife, so 45 to 64, who have been followed with serial visits and with phone questionnaires. And so we have all this wonderful data on these 15,000 people. So we decided to look to see if we could find a way to identify cases of late onset epilepsy in this population.
And then look back.
Exactly. See if there were risk factors we could see.
And what did you find when you looked back?
We found that at midlife, people who had high blood pressure, diabetes, smoking, were all at elevated risk of the late onset epilepsy. And we also found that physical activity and that moderate alcohol intake were protective.
Well, at least there's some good news in there. And how, and when you're looking for cause and effect, really what you've just said is that smoking, diabetes, high blood pressure are associated. They just might be in parallel tracks, and it might just be an accident of fate that they're linked to late onset epilepsy. But if there's a cause and effect line, the more smoking, the higher your blood pressure, the worse your control your diabetes is, the more likely you are to get the condition that you're looking for, in this case, epilepsy. Did that play out?
The one risk factor where we were able to see a dose-dependent relationship was, interestingly, the genotype, the apolipoprotein E4 genotype.
It's the same genotype that increases your risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Exactly, the same genotype that increases your risk of Alzheimer's. So we did see a dose-dependent effect with this, where if you have one allele of the apolipoprotein E4...
Which, just explain here, you've got two of these genes in parallel on your chromosomes, each of which is called an allele. You can have one form of ApoE on one and the ApoE4 on the other, or you can have a double dose of ApoE4.
Exactly. So if you have one copy of this gene, you are at elevated risk, but two copies, the risk is even higher. For the other risk factors, we have not been able to look at the strength of the risk factor. So those, we just saw the association.
One of the problems with these cohort studies where you're following large numbers of people is that you take a snapshot and they're not necessarily very good at monitoring change in behavior and the effect on the outcome. You tend to look back and say, oh, they were terrible in 1957 and that, you know, and then they were terrible in 1987. Do you have any way of tracking, you know, if they got onto high blood pressure treatment, they stopped smoking, et cetera, that they were better off?
Right. Great question. So we do have additional time points. These people have been followed at now 6 in-person visits. So that is future work to be done, I think. What would happen if you had the high blood pressure, the diabetes at time point one? What if you got treatment after that? So that is future work to be done.
And just as a clinician now, do you treat this epilepsy in any different way? In other words, if you really get on, so let's say you had a heart attack or a stroke, the standard of care in the United States and Australia is regardless of your blood pressure level, regardless of your cholesterol level, you go onto a blood pressure medication, you go onto a cholesterol reducing medication, you go onto aspirin. Is there any evidence that that high intensity intervention for heart risk factors makes a difference to the epilepsy once you've got it?
Great question. So far, there's not. So we do treat people who present with late onset epilepsy with our standard seizure medications, trying to avoid side effects as much as possible. More and more, we're starting to screen people for these risk factors to make sure that if they have hypertension, that it's controlled as much as possible. If they have diabetes, it's controlled as much as possible. There have been earlier studies that did show an elevated risk of stroke after a seizure starting later in life. So we do think of it as a risk factor similar to a TIA to tell us, hey, this person could be at risk of stroke. We need to control the other risk factors.
So for all 40-year-olds listening, and there are many of them, you know, mostly 30-year-olds listening, but for all the odd 40-year-old listening, get with the program.
That's right. Increase the physical activity, decrease the smoking.
Emily Johnson, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Emily Johnson is a neurologist at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore.